20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Thursday, February 27th, the start of the NFL Scouting Combine, a meat market for NFL prospects. And because of that, we don't have Nick Schmitz here tonight. As you guys can tell, everything probably ran a little less smoothly because Nick's pretty good at these kinds of things, and Maggie and I are trying to piece this together. So I will host this evening. I am Jacob Westendorf, and as always, I am joined by the great Maggie Loney. And Maggie, you said you wanted to make fun of me in my intro or your intro, so I'm allowing you to do that.
Well, I was going to say that today I'm joined by two of my favorite Packers people, and then I was going to change it and say one of my favorite Packers people and Jacob Westendorf. So now you may continue.
All right. So the other of favorite Packers people, because we do have a special guest here. She is a Mets fan, so but I'm not allowed to make fun of that because we have a Twitter truce on that. But Perry, since you can see me, I did wear this Yankees hat just for you tonight. I have Perry Goldstein of Packs What She Said, which is a hilarious Twitter name. And honestly, you two form my favorite gif-able names. Maggie, obviously, Maggie Simpson, and Nick Perry petting the cast. So, Perry, welcome to the show. I hope we don't scare you off. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. This is very exciting. And I knew as soon as I saw you that that hat was meant just for me. I almost put my Mets sweatshirt on and was like, no, I don't want to rock the boat the first time I'm on the show. But here we are.
Rocking the boat is my specialty. So here we are. Perry, real quick, before we get into some of the stuff here that we want to do, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into the podcasting game, and how you're hanging out over at Cheesehead TV.
Yeah, well, I never really thought that I would do anything with my love for the Packers, but I downloaded Twitter a few years ago to follow the news and ended up connecting with Nagler, who also lives in New York City, and started talking about the Packers. And he was like, hey, we want some more, you know, younger voices, female voices talking about sports. Do you want to come join us? And I said, nothing would make me happier than to spend ample amount of time talking about the Packers. So here I am podcasting with Maggie and just now part of the Cheesehead universe. And it's been really fun.
Yeah, it's been a great couple. I think you guys are just finished your fourth episode, which will air this Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a good show. Feel free, guys. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Spotify. Check it out. It's Packs What She Said. If you like puns and Packers, I think that really is the perfect show for you. And I'm not saying that just because the two hosts of the show are sitting right here. So, ladies, before we get too far into the deep end, which Maggie, we were there not that long ago, so we know how quickly these episodes can go off the rails. It is Scouting Combine Week, and that leads to a lot of different things. And the first thing I want to know, and Maggie, I'll start with you, is how important is the combine? Because I think some things get lost in translation here. Some people rely too much on the numbers. Some people say that it doesn't mean anything. Where do you stand on the combine versus tape argument, if you will?
I mean, I think the tape is always going to be kind of the truer measurement for these draft prospects. But then if you look at guys like Jakai Polite last season, he was top 20 prospect. A lot of Packer fans thought that he'd be going to them at pick 12. And then he bombs his interview process. And granted, some of that was taken out of context, but he doesn't really nail the interviews. He isn't able to work out fully, and his draft stock plummeted. And now he's like bouncing around practice squads. We don't even really know where he's going to end up in the league. So I think as far as the combine is concerned, a performance is definitely going to help you more than it will hurt you, unless, you know, there's a really extreme circumstance like Jakai Polite. I think that a lot of the day two, day three guys can kind of make a mark for themselves at the combine if they have, like, you know, really explosive measurements, some really good testing. But I do think that, you know, 90% of what you need from these guys is already available on film.
Okay, so Joe Burrow measuring in with a 9-inch hand isn't going to make you think that he's the third best quarterback in the draft?
I mean, my hands are like 5 inches, so honestly, I don't have any type of measurement. All the hands are large.
I understand that. Maggie, oddly enough, something I remembered as you were talking there was the first show we ever did together was after Ja'Kai Polite bombed that interview last year. So you and I went from talking about how we thought he was a slam dunk to be that kind of player for Green Bay to where was he going to end up? I'll have to go back and listen to what we said because he ended up being a third round pick. Perry, combine, obviously, it matters to some degree. The Packers picked Rashawn Gary last year. I mean, Brian Gutekunst can say all he wants that it all goes back to the tape. It goes back to the tape. But, I mean, when somebody posts a 995 RAS score from the combine, it's just a freaky deaky athlete. That's kind of going to draw some attention here. So with that in mind here, similar question to, I guess, what I asked Maggie is, where do you fall on that side of things? How much stock do you put into what these guys are doing on the field starting today?
Yeah, I agree with Maggie still. Like, the film says it all. That's actually what they're showing up to do in-game. The combine can show off really good athleticism, but I think at the end of the day, you got to look at the tape. I think everybody knows already who the top guys are. I don't see the combine changing that, but somebody who is kind of on the outskirts and not on the radar can show up and prove themselves and maybe rise up. I wonder sometimes a little bit with the combine what the recency bias is. Like, if somebody shows up really amazingly, like off the radar all of a sudden, wow, like how much that can influence a pick just because it happens so soon before the draft. But again, I'm not in the front office and I don't make those decisions, so maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of with the two of you there. I think what's more important is the interview process and who you talk to with teams and stuff like that. Because really, Polite not having a good workout last year hurt him. But eventually, if he had done great in interviews and just had a poor workout, eventually his tape would have won out. And his tape still did win out to some degree. But him bombing interviews and basically, I think last year Matt Miller reported that an NFL exec said it was like the worst combine in recent memory. That's what the combine really is a job interview. Can you show up and not fail a drug test, which say what you will about the testing policy, but the reality is if you fail a test at the combine, that's more of a intelligence test than anything else because everybody knows it's coming. So can you do that? Can you answer questions? And then if you're on the field, are you prepared? But I mean, there are some guys that rise and fall. I think John Ross became a top 10 pick when he broke the combine record for speed. Ultimately, I do think if you are picking a player based on his performance at the combine, Perry, like you said there, the recency bias there, I really think has taken over. But that does happen. Hopefully, Brian Gutekunst is not somebody that falls victim to that. The biggest position, and they interviewed yesterday, so we're recording this on a Wednesday. It was yesterday, Tuesday, that the wide receivers interviewed. And almost all of them, it seemed like, had quite a few things to say. So, Perry, of the interviews that we saw, was there anybody who stood out and you were like immediately like, I remember my good friend, Marcus Eversall, used to always say, this guy sounds like a Packer. And when he said that, he said like Randall Cobb. Just sounds, talks, coherent, sounds like a Packer. And I mean, it's really hard to explain, but there are certain guys that just sound a certain way. Is there anybody that kind of jumped off the screen at you saying like, this guy looks the part, if you will?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit pre-show and it's actually someone that surprised me. And it was Denzel Mims when he talked about, you know, somebody asked him, you know, what makes you stand out? It's a really deep class. Like, what is going to make you stand out to all these NFL GMs and coaches? And he said besides his contested catchability, which if you watch film is amazing, is his ability to block in the run game. And his answer was, you know, when you get the run game going, it opens up your ability in the pass game. And I just was like, Matt LaFleur is going to love. Like, that is, wow. Like, that is such an answer. And I also think you start to get these guys, like, personalities a little bit when they interview. And to me, like, the Packers are a very team-first mentality locker room. And so when you hear about a guy saying, yeah, like I love to block. You're like, wow, that's a team player. That's someone I want in my locker room who's not all about his stats. He's about making sure the offense is running. So he really stood out to me yesterday.
And those are things that you mentioned it. They pointed out, the coaching staff, the players in the locker room, over and over again, just the small things. Because guys, it's not lost on Matt LaFleur that Geronimo Allison wasn't having a productive season from a receiving standpoint. They know that. But what did they always talk about? Those guys do the little things. They make those things run, things of that nature. Maggie, that being said, this Packers team could use some explosion in the passing game. So who are some guys that you're looking for tomorrow? Because the combine can do some things, and Gutekunst talked about it a little bit yesterday, as how some things can break some ties between guys that they have on their board. Of, you know, if you have, for example, Justin Jefferson and T. Higgins rated closely, just for two names example, if one of them does a little bit better in some certain drills that the Packers tend to favor, they might pick one over the other based on those kinds of things. Is there anybody you're looking to separate themselves here in their workouts?
Really quick, I just wanted to touch on, you know, what Perry said with people that interview and sound like Packers, and you mentioned this as well. And the only player that I can think of during this entire process as far as, like, nailing or bombing their interview was, I believe it was Robert Kimdichie from the Cardinals, when they asked what he'd do with his money, and he said he'd buy a Panther, and they were like, yeah, no, that doesn't sound like a great idea. And then he plummeted in the draft. So, I mean, unless one of these wide receivers started talking about how they would buy, like, an animal that could eat them, I feel like, you know, some of these guys, like Perry said, had some really strong answers. And I think, you know, emphasizing your abilities as a blocker is a great way to get noticed by the Packers front office. One of the guys I'm really excited to watch run the drills is KJ Hamler, just because there's been so much debate on Twitter as to, you know, yeah, he's 5'9", he's pretty small, and he doesn't necessarily meet the threshold of what the Packers would typically look for at wide receiver. But then you have Brian Gutekunst coming and saying, you know, hey, we're not going to let size deter us from drafting a good football player. So, you know, even with the history at the position, if they like a guy, they'll make the investment in that player. So I think KJ Hamler is who I'm most excited to see just because of that. Like, will he do enough to maybe climb some draft boards, be of interest to a team like the Packers, even though he's not necessarily the receiver they would typically go for. But I'm glad you mentioned the relative athletic scores, because that's like my favorite part of the combine, is seeing all these guys with their numbers posted kind of as they move through the drills. And we've talked about it on different shows that Brian Gutekunst just adores his freak athletes, like the 9.0 and higher. So I'm curious to see where some of these guys measure up. I think so far as like freaky measurements, Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State with his wingspan, I kind of didn't know what to do when I saw that right away. Just thinking of him catching passes from Aaron Rodgers, it was a lot to be excited about. And his ability, of course, as a kick returner and a punt returner. So KJ Hamler and Brandon Ayuk are two guys that I think most intrigued to see take the field today for workouts.
Yeah, I am firmly still entrenched in the I don't care how tall KJ Hamler is thing. I'm sure Brian Gutekunst probably will still, but I mean, somebody just showed a clip earlier of him just running past Josh Metellus at Michigan, and Metellus is like 15 yards off the ball, and like as soon as you blink, Hamler's right on top of him, and then you blink again and he's 10 yards behind him. That is speed, speed, speed. And Maggie, I'm glad you mentioned the returnability. Perry, I think one of our first interactions was talking about KJ Hamler returning punts. So I know Tyler Irvin was on the team this past season. He's an exclusive rights free agent. They'll probably bring him back. But I do think that there is some added value in finding a receiver that can do those things, because we've seen – we even saw with Irvin how quickly things can go awry. The one time since Irvin was on the team, the one time he wasn't back there to return a punt, Tremont Williams fumbled it. And I think he ended up concussed. I don't remember if he came back in the game, but it probably should have stayed ruled a fumble, and it would have given the Bears the ball at midfield. It didn't. Whatever. We can move on from that. But I think those are things that, I mean, I know the kickoff maybe not so much, but the punt return game is something. I mean, guys, I feel like the Packers haven't had a good punt returner since Allen Rossum. I know that's not true, but it just feels like it has been that long. All right, Perry, I'm going to give you a minute to talk about your draft crush because he's wide receiver 3 for me. T. Higgins. So tell me, explain to me, because the detraction immediately is going to be that T. Higgins isn't the speed threat, quote unquote, that the Packers need in their receiving core. I assume, well, I'm not going to take words out of your mouth. Tell me why T. Higgins' face mask needs to turn green.
Yeah, I think he's just super polished. He could do better at his route running, but I just see him being able to start immediately and not being like afraid of the big stage coming from Clemson. He has really good speed for his 6'4 frame. I'm excited to see what he runs in the 40. I think that's going to be like really telling for him, especially because this class is so deep and we do value speed. It actually, I think it could be a deterrent from Goot taking him, but he's amazing at contested catches in that situation, like has the largest catch radius. I think his wingspan came back at almost 81 as a measurement, which is just mind blowing. But besides that, he can do yards after the catch. He's really like aggressive and athletic and just won't let a corner stop him. He takes the ball to the ground. He has this one catch. It's not a real catch in the NFL, but it's like this insane reach sideline grab. And I just, every time I watch it, I'm like, he needs to be on the Packers. Him catching balls from Aaron Rodgers would be so beautiful. The Packers get a little predictable in the red zone to me, and I think he would bring like a different interesting skill set out there. And he's a monster.
Yeah, I agree. When you talked about the catch on the sideline, I thought you were going to say Jordy against the Niners from, I think it was 2013 or something like that. But everybody knows the one. Rodgers escapes to his left, throws the ball. Jordy's like lunging out of bounds and gets both feet down. So that's one of those, yeah, that's not a catch in the NFL, but I really don't care. It was awesome. I mean, it was a cool thing to watch. Maggie, I know there are some later guys that you have talked about on some previous shows, but who's somebody early? Do you have somebody early that you're thinking like this guy fits like a perfect seamlessly into this offense? And that can mean a couple different things. So if you're content with Davante Adams as your slot receiver, for example, then you're looking for an outside guy to pair with Alan Lazard. If you're wanting Lazard and Davante Adams as your outside receivers, you're looking for a true slot guy. So what are you looking for and who are some guys that fit that mold?
I mean, I like the guys that can do it all. I think that Davante has proven that he can win anywhere, obviously. So wherever the Packers decide to utilize him effectively, I think he'll line up in a number of ways for the offense still, similar to what he did in 2019. But just kind of looking at like body types and catch radius and productivity out of college, to me, Justin Jefferson really seems like the prototypical Packers wide receiver. He's 6'3". He led the NCAA in receptions with 111. He had 18 touchdowns in 2019. He's just a big-bodied, really physical wide receiver. So pairing him with somebody like Alan Lazard on the boundary and then having Davante Adams in the slot, to me, is a really enticing matchup against defenses with Aaron Rodgers. But like you said, I do like the idea of, you know, a more traditional slot player. And to me, then, I guess somebody that would be on my radar would be Jalen Reagor. And he, again, has that kick and punt return ability, which the Packers are kind of so desperate for, especially if, you know, Perry and I talked about this quite a bit. Whatever happens with Tyler Urban, he probably doesn't warrant a roster spot at this point unless the Packers see him as an option at running back and not just as a special teamer. So if they do go after a wide receiver that can do both, that probably spells the end of Tyler Urban's time in Green Bay. Reagor has burners, you know, and he's 5'11", so he's kind of the more prototypical slot receiver frame. You know, he puts up some impressive numbers, and he's incredibly fast. So given kind of the Packers' history of looking at guys like Randall Cobb as more traditional slot players, regardless of how they want to use Davante, I think that Jalen would be a nice option for them there.
Peter Bukowski rejoices. Jalen Reagor. Jalen Reagor is awesome. I feel for him because he played in watching Rager's tape. It's fun watching him. Everything else stinks. Like, their offense is just a tire fire. For people that think the Packers offense was like inconsistent or disorganized, I implore you, go watch TCU tape. Trust me, you will be very thankful very quickly for the things that we have here in Green Bay. Guys, is there anyone, and I guess I can open this up to both of you here, is there anybody that you're looking for? Because obviously there's so much emphasis put on the first round, and with the Packers and their ability and their history with receivers, finding guys in the second round. I mean, Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, those guys were second round picks. James Jones was a third round pick. I'm sure I'm missing a few guys too, but the Packers have done so well early, but that doesn't mean that that's the only place that you can find receivers. Terry McLaurin was a third round pick last year. Calvin Harmon was undrafted. He had a solid year. Maggie, I'll start with you, I suppose, so we don't all talk over each other here, but is there a hidden gem that you're looking at that you're thinking, this could be a guy that Green Bay could take in the mid, you know, the fourth or the fifth round, maybe as a lottery ticket. And then you're seeing kind of similar to the mold of what people were hoping with MVS or EQ.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned MVS and EQ and even Jamon Moore, because honestly, and I don't know what this makes me sound like as, you know, a Packer person, but of the three of them coming out of that draft class, I was the highest on Jamon Moore. I thought that he maybe had the largest upside of the three. And then, of course, he was the first receiver off the team. So, you know, good thing I'm not a scout, I guess. But I do think that the Packers definitely need to invest in, I guess, more NFL-ready talent. Whether that's in the first round or early day two, I guess I wouldn't really want to see them wait all the way to day three unless they were incredibly confident that the guy that they wanted would be there. But I think that Wisconsin fans will enjoy the Quintez Cephas performance at the combine. He already put up pretty impressive numbers on the bench press. He led the wide receivers. So he, to me, we talked earlier in the show about players that maybe could see their draft stock improve with a good combine performance. And I think that he's one of those guys that could do that. It would kind of scratch the itch that Packers fans always seem to have about drafting the homegrown Wisconsin guys. So as much as I want to see them first take a talent in the first or second round, I do think he could be, you know, a really early day three pick, maybe even a late day two pick, depending on what his numbers look like after the combine. And then Perry and I talked about this on Packs What She Said, but Antonio Gandy-Golden from Liberty, I'm going to get made fun of for this probably because his NFL comp is Geronimo Allison, and I know that doesn't instill a ton of confidence in listeners right now, given the season that Allison had, but he's got a 92.4 deep grade from Pro Football Focus, and you know, really fantastic hands. He's more of a possession receiver, so if you go get a burner in the first round or, you know, Perry's guy, T. Higgins, if you get somebody that is just a dominant wide receiver and then you take a gamble again on maybe a less proven name on day three, I think that's the best route for the Packers to take.
Okay, and then Perry, do you have anybody who's kind of a mid-round, late-round sleeper type, if you will, that could maybe help themselves this weekend or even if they don't, find themselves as a productive player next year in Green Bay?
Yeah, I have one that I'll add, and it's Chase Claypool from Notre Dame. I really like him a lot. He's 6'4", 229, so he's definitely a really big guy, again, with that big catch radius, and he's super physical, and when I watch him, I'm kind of like, wow, that's an aggressive guy. He almost reminds me of a tight end, and his biggest strength is attacking the middle of the field, which I think could be really useful in Green Bay. He's not the quickest because he's humongous, so I'm curious to see how he does in some of those drills and the 40 at the combine, because I think if he could pull out a good time, the Packers would be extra interested, but I'm starting to get really high on him. His NFL comp is really interesting to me. It's Mike Williams, which I actually don't really see at all because Mike Williams has turned into a deep threat guy for the Chargers, and Claypool is more of a middle of the field guy to me based off what he did in college, but I guess you never know what he'll do in the pros. And I see him going like early day three, but I think he has a lot of upside.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that works out because there's been some buzz this week that some teams might view him as a tight end. And if the Packers look at Jay Sternberger as their inline do-it-all type tight end, and they could still use a move tight end in Matt LaFleur's system. And Claypool could be one of those guys, at least potentially. So I'm curious to see how that goes.
And that'll wrap things up for another episode of the Pack-A-Day podcast. Jacob Westendorf was your wonderful host this evening in place of Nick Schmitz. You can find his work on Twitter at Jacob Westendorf or with the Packer Report, which the Twitter handle for that is at PackerReport66. Perry Goldstein, thank you so much for being our guest host today. You can find her work on Twitter at Goldstein Perry, P-E-R-R-I. And you can also listen to her with the Packs What She Said podcast that drops every Saturday on Cheesehead TV. I am your other host, Maggie Loney. You can find my work on Twitter at Maggie J. Loney. I write for Cheesehead TV, and I, of course, co-host with Perry on the Packs What She Said podcast. Make sure that you tune in next week. Follow us all on Twitter. We will be doing something we think is a fun idea for a show. If you've ever wanted to be a guest host on the Pack-A-Day podcast, now is your chance to do that. Make sure that you follow Jacob and myself on Twitter. Nick doesn't really post a lot, so, you know, no guarantees that you'll find what you're looking for on his account, but send us your best show idea, and whatever topic we pick, we would be more than happy to invite you onto the episode to host it with us and break down your idea in detail. So send us some tweets with some show ideas throughout the week, and then we will notify you early next week to let you know that you have been selected to come on and host an episode of the Pack-A-Day podcast with us. So thank you, as always, for listening to us. Nick will be back next week, and I can guarantee this will be a lot more seamless. But in the meantime, send us some show ideas, and as always, Go Pack Go!